Hello and welcome back to
Lights, Camera and Life.
It's Lady.
And it's your boy Franklin.
So we are back again with a brief touch, a little ponder into another film.
Yeah. Do you know what? It's really interesting because I've started going into a lot of films without knowing much about it. And it's definitely changed the viewing experience.
Can I confess something?
Go on.
So I watched about three quarters of this film thinking that it was called a different film.
What did you think it was called?
I thought we were watching The Anatomy of a Fall, but we weren't.
No.
And at the end of that, I concluded that you can basically call any film any name you want, because I was there dissecting, what is it called? Why is it called that then?
Well, unless it's a Nigerian film where the name is basically the plot, like obedience, destiny, God intervenes. Then I think, yeah, most films tend to be quite abstract in their naming. But,
I really went in blind.
I think I've got to say I had a complete 180 turn in what I initially thought and what I now think. What about you?
What did we watch?
We watched Zone of Interest, which is a 2024 or 23 movie.
I think 23.
By Jonathan Glazer, great director who's done some good work. And it's won an Oscar for Best International Film and Best Sound Design. The latter is a huge, huge reason why this film is different.
Okay, let's start there.
Let's start with what the film is about and then we go on to it. It's basically about a German family. An officer within the SS who seems to be quite good at his job at exterminating Jews, if I can say it that way.
He is essentially running the concentration camp outfits.
Yeah. He's very efficient and has risen in the ranks. And I think his job means that he has to, you know, move to Auschwitz. So they
to run the camp.
And they live right by the camp, like they share a wall.
So yeah, one of their walls is the wall of Auschwitz.
It just kind of follows that. I think there are multiple cameras the way the film's shot is that there are multiple cameras at different parts in the hallway, in the kitchen. It has a kind of documentary feel to it. It's just trying to take you through the life of what seems to be quite a pleasant, well-run family. But the horrors that are happening on the other side of the fence aren't shown. But
you never see any part of Auschwitz.
But you hear it.
Yeah.
And it all comes down to the sound design. And yeah, this film caught me off guard.
Okay.
What about you?
I think that I'm similar to you in the sense that how I felt when I watched it and how I felt in the days after was actually quite different. And that's probably testament to how the film gets into your psyche, actually.
Yeah.
voice disappeared. So I think that when I finished watching it, I was a bit like, oh, is that it? I was actually pretty unimpressed.
I thought they were trying, at first, because I went into it blind, I thought they were trying to, I didn't know it was Jonathan Glazer that made this film. I thought they were trying to idealise the German family during this Nazi time. I thought they were trying to create a different take on what it must be like for the normal German citizens, or, you know, while this is going on. And I immediately had my guard up, and I thought, no, I'm not having that. You know, I don't care about what was going on with normal Germans. I want to see, and I want you to address what is happening at that time. And I think because of that, I just kind of didn't take in a lot of it until I realised what was happening when you started hearing the screams.
Yeah.
And the shots and the things like that, the part where it was like they were fighting over an apple and then they said drown him in the river or something. And you're like, okay, it's telling a story through sound. And then I realised, okay, this is a very different take. But then as time goes on and you see what's going on with the family as well, like the interaction between Sandra Hüller's character and her mum.
When her mum comes
and she's like, are you guys really close to the camp this? And she says, she's just basically flipping and says, yeah, and then goes on to talking about roses.
Yeah, it's an outsider coming in being like, oh, like you really are literally next door.
And you're fine with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which I guess is just one of the ways the film points out how immune this family bubble were, or allegedly were, to what was happening within such close vicinity.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
or how they had to be immune to it, I guess.
So you think that, yeah, I guess, and you hear that sometimes you see the children playing and there's something happening, and it's like, you know, children are quite sensitive, and he walks to the window, hears it, and just decides, you know what, I can't listen to this, and goes back to playing. It's actually quite a powerful film in retrospect.
Without saying a lot. It does a lot.
Without showing you anything. And the very last scene where they show you the real, it's like a museum, and the cleaners cleaning with all those sandals. That was quite heart-wrenching at the end. I have to say, when we first watched it, I thought it was, I remember I said, nah, I didn't like it. But now I think about it, it's really good.
It's definitely made an impression
on me.
And I think that now know that Rudolph House, I may have said his last name incorrectly, was a real person, character.
That was it.
There is some facts to what was happening there.
I didn't know that either.
Given it an extra edge, which I would have liked to have known that before, possibly in this case, I think.
Yeah.
Possibly that would have made me view it in an even more... It would have made me feel even more, like the whole thing was even more sinister.
Yeah, giving it a gravity, a depth to it. Like, okay, this actually happened. What else
but
did you like?
But that aside, it still left an impression on me. And I guess that as I was watching it, I did feel relatively unimpressed. And I'm trying to figure out why that is.
Well, it had I think because, first of all, you didn't quite have a context to whether it was real or not. And it's the way it was shot. It has a documentary feel to it. Like, the cameras are placed in quite a wide spread. So you're seeing, like, a rectangular frame of a screen. It's not got these cinematic shots where it pulls you in, right?
You don't really build any relationship with any of the characters.
With any of the characters, exactly. It's very cold, which I guess is done on purpose. And not just that, I think they intentionally make, if you notice, the colour of Auschwitz was basically black and white compared to the colour of the beautiful garden.
But even the colouring of the garden was slightly, I don't know, off coloured almost.
You're right.
It wasn't the normal brightness you'd expect of a garden that beautiful anyway.
What struck me was the Rudolph House would be at his desk saying that, talking quite passionately about the garden and the flowers and how any soldier who messes with it will be terminated. But he has no care for human life in his day job.
Yeah.
It was a kind of weird dichotomy.
But then you saw a few glimmers towards the end of the man who was sort of struggling with the weight of what he was doing, I guess.
Well, he was a psychopath, I think, personally. Yeah. Do you remember when he was talking to his wife? And he said, oh, I was at a party and all I could think about was how I would gas everyone there. But probably I couldn't do it because of the high ceilings. And it's just like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
You're absolutely crazy.
Or are you just way too ingrained in your work, and your work happens to be something that is awful, obviously.
Well, this leads me to the quick... Remember, we burst out into a little debate in between, and we were saying... would you think, so the wife and the kid, well, not the kids, but the wife, would you say she was complicit to the atrocities as well? And I guess we extrapolated that to everyone who was, you know, Germans at the time in Nazi Germany. Were they complicit with these crimes? Or is it, if you're born and brainwashed by what was a very terrifying regime, then you've got to say that they didn't have any choice. They were basically, there was the thought police, weren't they?
It's, I mean, only they will know. And obviously, if you are literally within earshot and you can hear conversations that are so detailed, i.e. we're going to kill this person for whatever they've done that is allegedly disobedient in the camp, then yes, you must know.
Mm-hmm.
But then I think you can't underestimate, and I guess that's partly what the film is trying to do, you can't underestimate how much you can... minimize things in your own head when you can't literally see them. You can start to convince yourself that it's not quite like that, or it's for the greater good. And when you think about all the propaganda that was definitely out there at the time, you know.
Yeah.
So it's so hard to comment on, you know. I think there's a part of me, I don't feel sorry for her. It didn't evoke empathy for her, but I see someone who was trying to make a home for their family at any by any means possible.
Well, I didn't feel sorry for... Well, I kind of not understood, but I didn't have an opinion on her up until she said something to the maid.
Yeah.
Where she was like, I could have your ashes.
Yeah. Spread. Because I then realised that she's one of the Jewish people that would have come from the camp. Obviously plucked her out to be a house girl.
Yeah, and that's when I was like, I think intrinsically she's quite an evil woman.
Mm.
And I had that's when I, you know, hopped off the fence and actually had an opinion
on
what she was. But one of the things I noticed, and the sort of black and white night vision.
Where the girl would go into
and plant camp. Apples. Yeah. And that. What did you think about that part? Did it take you out of the film? Because I couldn't quite marry those scenes to the film.
I think, but because I constantly wondered, who is she?
Yeah.
And that the way that was shot, she almost didn't look real. It's like, yeah. Is she some sort of angel in someone's mind? Or so, yeah, I didn't quite know what to do with it. I just constantly wanted to know who she was.
Well, it wasn't at the end. It looked like she came back to the house of Rudolf Hess, the original house by Auschwitz. So I was thinking, could she have been one of the house girls, yeah, the housemaids? Probably. Yeah, that's my theory.
If she's come from there.
Yeah, I think there was just something that showed that. But it didn't take me out of the film. It just added an extra layer of surrealism to it, especially the scene where he's going down the steps. Well, there's a difference, different to that, but going down the steps and he vomits and then stares down into the dark and then it kind of shows... these are my final thoughts. There's a surrealism to it. There's a real art. You know, it's an art film that creeps up on you. You don't realize that to start off with. And I think actually initially I was quite unimpressed.
Mm-hmm.
But now I think that it lingers through its visuals, definitely through its sounds, and with the gravity of what the situation in. And yet again, films like this just make you realize, you know, that we can't forget what happened at that time. And I think it's a powerful film.
Yeah, I think when I step back and view it as a commentary on human beings and what they're capable of, as opposed to a commentary of what actually happened at that time, I think I can really appreciate it.
That's
a lot more.
That's a really good way.
I think personally, if you try and view it as a... in any way a retelling of what happened, that then you won't enjoy it for that reason.
Yeah,
I think that I can now appreciate it as a wider commentary about human beings generally. I don't know if that makes any sense.
Absolutely. No, you've nailed it. And I think I'm not going to add to that other than it's about what you feel and what you hear, not necessarily what you see.
And what is the truth? Deep.
Deep.
Yeah. I think worth a watch, though.
Definitely worth
a
watch.
Can you give it stars?
It's difficult because of the subject matter. And how would I mean...
I don't know why that makes it difficult, though.
Well, it's difficult because... Well, it's difficult because do you give it 10 out of 10 for being a very impressive film trying to discuss or show what happened
on that, or do note, you give on it, that note alone I probably wouldn't give it 10
yeah anymore. I mean, sorry, what I mean is, how do you rate it based on its effectiveness in showing the situation, or do you rate it as a standalone film, like as an artistic piece of work? Which actually, when I look back on it, it's growing on me. Like, I think those shots where they're swimming, I think I like those shots, and I would have to give it 2 ratings.
Okay.
So as an art project, 6.5. I think, but when you kind of channel that into what it's actually trying to discuss, it elevates it to an 8.5 probably an 8.5 for me. Simply because it tells a lot, and I started to feel the heaviness of the situation just by the sound alone. And an 8.5 to a 9 for me. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to separate it out as much as you, but I think I would sit comfortably at 7.5, I think.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know,
Probably is the average.
Average, yeah, exactly. Yeah. We need to tell these guys how we're get these stars. What is the score system? But I need to show you Son of Saul, because Son of Saul is like the complete opposite of this film.
Okay.
Where they just basically focus in on their faces. Oh. You never see... the surroundings. It's just their reactions to everything.
Mm.
And that's like the opposite of this, but it's such a powerful film. So I'm going to show you that. But listen, guys, we would love to hear your thoughts on it. It's won a lot of critical acclaim and a lot of, you know, a couple of Oscars as well. What are your thoughts? Tell us what you think.
Look forward to hearing from you as always.
And join us for more reviews in the coming days in Lights, Camera and Life.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Bye.
Bye.